Thank you very much, Sarah. Richard Cloutier, Julie Buckingham will be joining me. We'll get to our question of the day as well. As we continue on here, a lot of your texts coming in too. We appreciate it. We'll share more of those at 780-6868. But Marion Goldstone is joining me now from Mood Disorders of Manitoba. Marion, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Well, I am well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were trying to get you on yesterday. We had some technical difficulties, but I'm glad to do it again today because Rita was so good about her own journey on International Women's Day. We were going to talk to you about yours and also the mental health program that Mood Disorders of Manitoba has for women. But let's just start with your journey and your career and some of your experiences.
Well, I will talk about my mental health journey because by doing so, I hope it makes it much easier for someone else to tell their story, perhaps to a clinician for the first time and move into wellness. So I will start by asking the listeners to listen for three things. The hope of recovery, because there always is hope. The other point is to catch the symptoms early before get too far along because it takes less time to recover. And the last point I want to make is listen for the value of being brutally honest with your clinicians because they can't read your mind. So to start at the beginning, my journey with mental health began when, or mental illness began when I was about 10 years old. And at that time, I went through a very traumatic childhood event, which actually was perpetrated for some time thereafter. But the initial period of that first time childhood traumatic event set in motion what was to become a diagnosis of obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, I have collected over the course of my lifetime at least four categories of mental illness, which would have, you know, indicators that there are things wrong that need attention. So the OCD is one, bipolar is another, anxiety, and then, of course, a certain amount of post-traumatic stress disorder. So when I was 10, what happened was, as a result of this event, I developed very quickly an absolute fear of being alone in a house by myself. And I could not do it. I would run away outside and hide to avoid that. I had to have little caches of almost weaponized ordinary household things around, like a can of hairspray or you know, something that was heavy if I had to be for even a short time in a house by myself. And now people did notice that. It was hard to miss. But in those days, we didn't really know too much about mental health and mental illness. So the long and the short of it was I was either scolded or laughed at, or it was completely swept under the rug. And I think it stuck out that I was probably starting to look like a kid that had some issues, but no one really wanted to talk about it. So that got swept under the rug. And that continued. And off I went to university, still terrified to be alone in a home or a room or a building by myself at the age of 18. And went to university. It went not too bad for a while. But by third year, I crashed because I had just become married. And I was a very academic student, very keen student. And I just couldn't keep all the balls in the air at the same time and have them be perfect. And my OCD was back again. I just couldn't manage and I crashed and ended up leaving that third year of university and doing it again the next year. So again, very little attention paid to it. It'll go away. So fast forward to when I became a mother, started having my own children and a miscarriage. And at that time, I didn't know why I was sitting on the floor crying with my baby in my arms, not knowing what was wrong with me. And it happened for two of my three pregnancies, and it certainly happened as a result of my miscarriage. And when I did go to the doctor, if they asked about my emotions or how I was feeling, it was just in passing. And they might have. But at that time, I would have sloughed it off and said, oh, no, I'm fine, because I wouldn't have wanted to have the stigma of being that new mom, not feeling overjoyed with your new baby. Now, that event really started to open the door for depression. And for a long time, I thought maybe I did have depression symptoms. I didn't notice that as I moved into my working years and my motherhood years, that I also had another side to that. And that was bursts of energy, where I would try to take on the world. And then all of a sudden, everything would just come to an abrupt halt, and I couldn't do it anymore. And so then I'd have to backtrack. And sometimes in those bursts of energy, I didn't make really good decisions. I took risks that I shouldn't have taken. All kinds of things that were very indicative that I was now developing some indicators of bipolar disorder. But you know what? The depression always went away, because I could guarantee that the high part of that bipolar cycle would take me out of the depression. So this went on, and I went on through a teaching career. I lectured at university. I raised children. Did it help me, all of these things, raising my family? Absolutely not. There was so much that I missed from my children and them growing up, and from that family experience, because my mental health did get in the way. I wasn't particularly easy to live with. So,
but along the way, Marianne, did you have like the support that what you do? And I, hearing your journey, it's a rather remarkable one. I would have presumed that's what also brought you to Mood Disorders of Manitoba, because it's kind of what you help with now. And I think a lot of people would resonate knowing that you shared some of these experiences if they are, you know, struggling.
Oh, I would hope so. And that's why I do not mind sharing my story with people, because it opens the door for someone else to share theirs. The other thing I hope it does is it normalizes this stuff, because we know now that probably close to one in three Manitobans will have an experience of a mental health issue over the course of their life. So we have lots of company out there. I know I have lots of company. I know there are people who are listening who are saying, oh, yes, me too. I'm thinking, I'm wondering if there's something that I need to talk about.
Yeah, it's interesting, because hearing your journey and some of the issues you were going through, I think we understand that, like being the new mom and not being ecstatic about it, or just the fear that you developed as a 10-year-old. These are all things that I think that I know specifically there's some services that can help with that. But back then, I think from your story is there probably wasn't those available then.
No, and I was also living in rural Manitoba. And so basically, not the same access, not the same access to some of the nonprofit supports that we have in place now, like Mood Disorders, because those didn't develop in the smaller rural towns because stigma. We were, you know, very afraid to share this with our neighbors and our friends and our doctors, who were also our neighbors and friends. You know, it becomes a little more complicated when you move it into the rural areas as well.
Yes, for sure. And Marianne, I just got a text here from a lady who said, I'm in tears. Well, thanks for sharing. You are making a difference by just, you know, letting people know that whatever they're going through right now, is okay. It's not uncommon. And there are avenues out there for you. So I think just by doing this interview, you've made a difference, hopefully. So well, I appreciate that. I do want to get to not only mood disorders in Manitoba, but specifically their women's mental health program, and especially in the rural areas like you're referencing.
Okay. Well, of course, we do have a women's stream through mood disorders, and Shoppers Drug Mart has very generously given money and donations to foster that, and we're extremely grateful for that. So part of the programming that we do offer is programming for postpartum depression. We also offer programming for women's groups, and we offer very extensive programs in disordered eating and body image as well, which are certainly open to men, but seem to be taken very seriously by a lot of women, too. Here in Westman, we have a women's program that is called the Soul Sisters. And there's a number of them, and it's an online program that anyone is welcome to join. And basically, you pick up your coffee cup, get into the link on the internet, and there's a group of women who are just ready and willing to be friends with you and chat with you. They change their topic every week, but, you know, they support each other, and nothing's off the table. And so, you know, a lot of women really take a lot of comfort from that. We also have here in Westman a group called Letting Go, which is about clutter. Because when we are depressed, when we're struggling, clutter builds up in our house. That's one of the first indicators that things are going, we're not doing well. That along with our lack of hygiene. So that's going on. And it's open to everyone. So we have a number of programs for women. And we're also willing to go out in the communities and present about women's issues as well.
Outstanding stuff, Marion. Like I said, I think you resonated with a lot of our listeners. I appreciate you sharing your story and your journey, and continued with helping make a difference with mood disorders of Manitoba.
Thank you very much. And to the lady that is feeling something, it's okay not to be okay. And I can tell you from experience that if something is bothering you right now, it will be temporary. We can get through this. And please call our helpline, or please reach out to clinic or a doctor or some professional service if you need it.
Exactly. We appreciate that. And I will also say moodmb.ca is Mood Disorders of Manitoba's, and also where you can find Marion and many other people that can assist, moodmb.ca. Marion, always a pleasure. Thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.